the firstborn among many brethren. You see what that verse teaches? That God's ultimate will for all of his children is that we be conformed, or we be made just like his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. In eternity, folks, you're going to be just like Jesus Christ. That's a good positive outlook, isn't it? Anybody you'd rather be more like than Jesus Christ? God's will is for us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ forever. You see, he's so pleased with his Son. God is so pleased with his Son, Jesus Christ, he wants all of his children to be just like him. I mentioned a few weeks ago, anybody ever tell you growing up, why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister? Did you ever hear that? Wouldn't it just make you sick? You know, God says that. God says to us, I want you to be more like your brother. You know, in one passage, the Bible does say Jesus is our brother. I know he's our Lord, but he's also our brother. He's one of the brethren. So when God says to me, I want you to be just like your older brother, I say, Lord, that's what I want to. Now, his will is for you to be made like Jesus Christ. That's the general will of God. But what I'm talking to you about this morning is the specific will of God for your life. Some folks praying about what to do. Some praying about who to marry. I mean, I don't think anybody here, most of you folks have already bit the bullet on that. There's no turning back. But folks pray about everything. Folks wonder about things. What house should I get? What car should I buy? Should I take this offer, that offer? Whatever the case may be, a lot of us have things we're praying about. We need God to be very specific. Lord, I want to know your will. Knowing all that, let me give you three main points here this morning. When it comes to God's will, everybody falls into one of three categories. And folks, if you miss this, you won't get anything out of the rest of the sermon. But when it comes to the will of God, every man, woman, boy or girl in this world falls into one of three areas. Number one, you're in the perfect will of God. Number two, you could be in the permissive will of God. Or number three, you could be completely out of the will of God. There's only three options. There's no more. Everybody alive is either in God's perfect will, or you're in God's permissive will, or you're out of God's will completely. There is no fourth. There's no alternative. Either you're doing with your life right now exactly what God wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, or you're doing something that is not his perfect will, but he's allowing you to do it. That's the permissive will. Or you're just flat out living in sin. You're out of God's will, and you make no bones about it. I trust you know what the best option is. Amen? Amen. It's best for us to seek God's perfect will. I've got some scripture I want to show you. First of all, the scripture that shows us God has a perfect will is what we just read in Romans. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as I asked the Lord to give me a Bible passage on the permissive will of God, he took me here. And I want you to go to Matthew chapter 19. Maybe that's a new term for you folks. Maybe you've never heard somebody say the permissive will of God. What that means is that it's not God's true best desire for you, but he'll let you do it. He won't stop you from doing it. I mean, it's not the best thing, but he won't stop you from doing it. If you're a parent, haven't you practiced that a lot? As a parent, your children ever do something that probably wasn't your perfect will for them, but let them go ahead and do it. Don't give them too much trouble about it. I asked the Lord to show me in Scripture an example of God allowing a man to do something, but if God had his way, he wouldn't do it that way. But God does allow the man or woman to do it. Matthew 19, look at verse 1. Here's the best example in the whole Bible. Matthew 19, 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea before beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And before we read on, that's God's perfect will for marriage. Everybody agree with that?
Amen.
God's perfect will for marriage is a man marry a woman, and they're together until death parts them. That's the standard. That's the ideal. That's the perfect will of God for marriage. But verse 7 tells you that there is a situation that God allows when it comes to marriage, but it's not the way he intended for it to be. Verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? See what they're saying? All right, if it's God's will for a man to be married to his wife until death do him part, why did Moses let him get divorces? Jesus said in verse 8, he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Pretty clear, isn't it?
Amen.
Getting a little quieter now. What this pastor is saying, folks, is there are some things God allows. Christ allowed them to get divorces, but if God had his way about it, if he had his perfect will, a man and woman would stay married till death do them part. Whatever you agree or disagree with that, that's what the passage says. Do you know what that passage says in verse 7 and 8? It says that there is a permissive will of God that God will allow a man or a woman to do. It's not his perfect will. It's not the best way, but God will allow it. Now, that's not my message on divorce and remarriage. I took you there to show you that's what the permissive will of God is. So you got the perfect will of God, you got the permissive will of God, and then you got the third option, which is you're just out of the will of God altogether. Do you know every lost man, every lost woman on this earth right now is out of the will of God, every one of them? Do you know God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance? So if it's not God's will for anybody to perish and die and go to hell, then that must mean everybody who dies and goes to hell is out of God's will forever. Wouldn't that be a terrible way to spend eternity out of God's will forever?
Amen.
If God didn't intend for you to go to hell and you do go to hell, you're not in God's perfect will. You're not even in God's permissive will. You're out of God's will. There's no way to get around it. Now, a very tragic thing happened this last couple of days, and it's really bothered me. It really has bothered me. And I made sure I could say this before. I'm not going to give you any names, but I visited a man who was near death, very near death. I mean, hospice had been called in. And that man had been approached about his salvation sometime before this. By the time I got there, he wasn't really to respond much. They'd had him so much medication. And we did what we could, but he wouldn't respond much to us. And I talked to his wife about some things, and then I got this from another family member, so I know it's true. I know it was said. While he still had his understanding, they discussed his burial, funeral, about cremation or having a body and have viewing hours or cremation. And he made the statement that he didn't want to be cremated because he was going to burn soon enough anyway. Did you hear that, folks? I don't want to be cremated because I'm going to burn soon enough anyway. What he's saying is, I'm going to hell anyway. I'll do my burning there. He died yesterday morning. He is gone. He is in hell now. That bothered me. That was a heavy stone upon me. He's there now. That man's out of God's will. And he'll never be in God's will. For all of eternity, he'll never be in the will of God. It's not God's will that men die lost. And so if they do die lost, they're out of his will. Isn't that a tragic thing? I can't pray for him anymore. There's nothing another soul can do. There's nothing God can do for that man now. God himself won't go back and change his word. That man's out of God's will. God has a perfect will. God has a permissive will. And then you can be just out of God's will. But I want to say this to you. Even Christians can be out of God's will. Even those who are truly born again, you can be out of God's will. It's not only the lost man that's out of God's will. Christians can be out of the will of God. And it's not a matter of them dying and burning, but they will suffer loss for being out of the will of God. You're going to experience chastisement here and loss of rewards when you stand before the Lord. So there's real consequences for being out of God's will. In fact, when you're out of God's will, you not only open yourself up to trouble and judgment, you open up your family to trouble and judgment. So those are the three types. Everybody see that? Perfect will, permissive will, out of God's will. You're in one of those three categories this morning, and there's no other option for you. Do you want an example of a man who always lived in God's perfect will? You want to see what a man in God's perfect will looks like? You want to know what it looks like for a man to stay right in the center of God's will? The best example is Jesus Christ himself. You know what the Lord said in John chapter 8, verse 29? Jesus said, "I do always those things that please the Father." Jesus Christ said, "Everything I do, everything I think, every place I go pleases my Father." Can you say that about your life? That's the picture of a perfect life lived in the perfect will of God. Now put the brakes on here. I know Christ is God. I know he's sinless. I'm not saying you can reach the point where you're sinless and perfect. But I am saying you too can be in God's perfect will. Even though you haven't yet got your new body, what does it mean to be in God's perfect will? Folks, being in God's perfect will is when you are at the place of God's choosing, at the time of God's choosing, doing the work of God's choosing. That's what it means to be in God's perfect will. To be in the place where God's put you, at the time God's put you there, doing what God put you there to do. That's God's perfect will. That's the bullseye, if you can say it that way. That's the desirable place for a Christian. That's the best place a Christian can live, in the perfect will of God. A man who lives in the perfect will of God talks like this. He says like the Lord, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's what a man living in God's perfect will says. Not my will, but thine be done. Are you in God's perfect will this morning? Can you say, "I'm exactly where God wants me to be, exactly when he wants me to be there, doing exactly what he wants me to do"? If you can say that, praise the Lord, you're in a good place. But if you would have to say, "You know, I'm not out and out against God. I do love the Lord, but I'm not doing exactly what I know I should be doing, where I should be doing it, when I should be doing it," you're living in the permissive will of God. In other words, you can still serve the Lord, and you still love the Lord, and you'll still come to his house, and you'll read his word, but truthfully, you're missing the mark a little. You're not quite right on center. That's the permissive will of God. Everybody together so far?
Amen.
Bullseye is perfect will. Permissive will is just off the mark. You may see some good things happen in the permissive will of God, and you may have some victories, but you're not exactly where God wants you to be, doing exactly what he wants you to be doing. You know, folks, when you're in God's perfect will, you're immortal and you're invincible until your work is done. I know that because on our Lord's talk about his life, you know, on more than one occasion, they tried to kill our Savior before he went to Calvary. You knew that, didn't you? A couple of times the Bible said they took up stones and they would have stoned him, but he passed out of their sight. You know why they couldn't take the life of our Savior early? Because he was in God's perfect will. And when you're in God's perfect will, God protects us, keeps us until the work is done. Do you know when Christ died? Christ couldn't die until he had said, "I've lived in the perfect will of my Father, and now it is finished." And then the scripture says he gave up the ghost and died. If you're in God's perfect will, you're safe there. You're immortal as long as you're there. God will protect you as long as you're there in His perfect will. But when you step out of God's perfect will, you know what you've done? You've stepped out of the safety zone. You've opened yourself up to attack. Now, I know that even in God's perfect will, the devil's still going to throw the fiery darts at you. I'm not saying if you get in God's perfect will, you'll never have any trouble. You might have a little more trouble, in fact. But you're safe. You're safe. God will keep you. It's the same way you think about children. Why do we as parents put restrictions on our children? We want to keep them safe. But they get out of trouble when they go around the safeguards. They open themselves up when they go beyond the fence. Everybody see this? That's the Christian life. Are you in God's perfect will? Are you in His permissive will? Now here's the heart of the message this morning. Here's a practical part. We've talked about the perfect will of God. That's doing everything in God's timing, in His way, where He has you to go. We talked about the permissive will, some things that you're doing, not quite God's perfect will, but you're still getting some things done. Now, here's the heart of it all. How do you know God's perfect will? It'd be a pretty bad cliffhanger if we ended the sermon right here, wouldn't it? I mean, we all know we should seek God's perfect will, but what if we just stopped and we went home? We'd leave here not knowing how to find God's perfect will. God's not playing hide-and-go-seek with us, folks. If you want to know His will, He'll show it to you. Quickly, here's how we know God's will. And in case you're wanting to look back at the clock, but you feel sort of ashamed to do it, we haven't hit the hour mark yet, so stay put. Now, this is the most important part of the message, as far as I'm concerned, because it's what God helped me with. Number one, to know God's perfect will, number one, must have this first. Make sure you're a child of God. Make sure you've been born again. Make sure you're saved. If you're not saved, that's where everything stops. You're not in God's will. You never will be in God's will. If you die like that, you'll die outside of God's will. So number one, be sure that you have been born again. You want to know God's perfect will? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If you have, then you can advance to the next step. Have you been born again? I hope you have. If you haven't, that's where it's got to start for you. Number two, to know God's perfect will, obey the part of God's will that you do know. Here's where we miss it every time, folks. We think the will of God is way out there in the future somewhere. Lord, show me what I'm going to be doing in 5 years. Lord, show me where you want me to be in a year or two. Wait a minute. God's will is for today. If you want to know what God has for you tomorrow, you better be doing what God has for you to do today. Here's an illustration. If we don't obey what we know is God's will, why would God give us any more knowledge? Our boy had a birthday this past Thursday, and I took him to Walmart. You know, that's the end all, everything you want. Somebody had given him a little money for his birthday, and if you come out of Walmart, there's those, you know, those claw machines you see trying to pick up the stuffed animals. Well, he had a dollar. I think that's all he had left. He said, can I try for, I think it was a Buckeye toy. I was going to give it to Nick if we won. I said, sure, go ahead. He put his dollar in there, and I knew it was a rigged deal. You know how they are. That claw came down, man, and he was right on the thing he wanted, right on it. Picked up about 2 inches, and so weak, it dropped it. He said, I think I can get it next time. One more dollar. I said, nope, no way. You see the point? Wouldn't I have been a fool indeed to let him keep putting dollars in that machine once I knew that there wasn't any strength in that thing and it was not going to hold anything? Wouldn't I have been a fool to keep saying, all right, $5, $10, $15, $20? People do that, you know. Have you ever seen people at the fair spend $40 on a stuffed animal and say, look what I won? Well, you didn't win nothing, brother. Now, here's the point in that. If you're not doing today what God wants you to do today, God's not going to keep feeding you more knowledge of His will if you're not going to do what you already know to do. Why is God going to waste His time in showing you His will for your life tomorrow if you're not doing it today? So what do we know God's will is? There's some things about God's will I know and you know. Number one, isn't it God's will for you to pray without ceasing? All right. Do you pray regularly? If you don't pray regularly, forget it. You won't know any more of God's will until you obey what God's told you to do. How about reading your Bible? Is that God's will for you? Absolutely. Do you spend time in your Bible every day? Well, no, not really. All right. Forget getting more wisdom. You won't have it. What about witnessing? What about being faithful to church? What about being thankful? You know, 1 Thessalonians says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So I can tell you folks here, I know one thing is God's will. I don't care who it is, Sister Forbes, Sister Martha, Miss Thompson, Brother Vaughn, I know what God's will is for you folks. It's to be thankful. I'm not a psychic now. I'm not saying God's given me. That's what God's will is for all of his children. But if we're not thankful, you know what we've done? We've stopped the process. So are you thankful? You love the Lord? Are you praying? You read his word? I don't want to labor here, but I think if I've missed it sometimes, it's been because I've neglected the small things of today, wanting God to show me about the big things for tomorrow. And it don't work that way. I want you to turn to one more place here, and that's Psalm 119. If you'll find Psalm 119, I want to show you what God said about taking the next step of obedience. Psalm 119. And when you get there, find verse 105. Psalm 119, 105. This is a verse you learned in Sunday school, and you learned it in Vacation Bible School, and you could probably say it without even reading it. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Look at the order. First it says there's a lamp, and then it said there's a light. It doesn't say light first and then the lamp. It says lamp is first and then the light is next. What does the lamp do? The lamp gives you enough light for your next step. The light gives you light for further on down the path. That's what it says here. A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Here's the order. Take the light God's given you, a lamp, for the next step of obedience, and we take the next step, God will give you the light to see down the road. But if you don't have the lamp, if you're not trusting God for today, and yet you're trying to shine that light down the road, you're going to trip and fall and break your neck here. You won't even get down the rest of the path. Amen?
Amen.
Are you obeying the light from the lamp? Are you taking step by step? Forget tomorrow for a minute, folks. Have you done today what you know is in God's will? I want to say to you, you folks are here in church. That's part of God's will. So you got that right. In that respect, you're taking the step of obedience today. So number one, make sure you're saved. Number two, obey the part of God's will that you do know. Do what God's told you to do. There's some things you don't have to pray about. You don't ever have to pray about whether or not God wants you to read your Bible. Never have to pray about it. Never pray about whether God wants you to be a witness. Never pray about whether you ought to come to church. Those things, you don't have to pray about it. God's already said, that's my will. But here's where it gets practical and applicable. Then the next thing you got to do is to pray for wisdom. Have you ever really seriously prayed to God and said, I want to know what your will is for my life, Lord. I'm doing all I know to do now. Can you give me some wisdom about what's next? We ask everybody else to pray for us, but sometimes we never pray for ourselves. It's easy to say, brother, pray for me that God will give me wisdom, and we never pray ourselves. Didn't the Lord say you have not because you ask not? This decision, you folks that raised your hand, this decision that is out before you, have you prayed earnestly, specifically, Lord, give me wisdom? If you have, good. If you haven't, pray about it. And then finally, be on the lookout when God shows you his will. It's a wonderful day, folks. It's a beautiful day when that moment comes when God says to you, this is my will. You ever experienced that? You've been praying about something and it seems like you're so burdened because you don't know which way to go, and all of a sudden God gives you direction, and it's like somebody's opened the prison bars. And you know, praise the Lord, I can see clearly what it is God wants me to do. Be looking for that moment. As we close, I want to remind you I want to give you four ways God speaks. I'm not going to preach here. I'm just give it to you. We'll come back to it some other sermon. Watch for direction. When you've done all this that you know to do, be ready. God speaks four ways. Number one, God speaks through His Word. Number two, God speaks through His Spirit. Number three, God can speak to you through other Christians. And number four, God can speak to you through your circumstances. If you don't know where to look for the answers from God, you're going to miss them. Number one, God speaks through His Word. Have you ever been reading the Bible and God gives you wisdom and you say, "That's it, Lord. I found it. I've got an answer." God primarily speaks through this book. Sometimes God speaks through His Spirit. Have you ever just noticed and felt it in your heart that the Holy Spirit in you is telling you this is the way to go? Yes. Here's something you got to remember. The Holy Spirit will never lead you or give you a feeling if it contradicts what's in the Bible. Amen. So you say, "The Holy Spirit's given me this direction, but the Bible says, no, that's not my will." All right, you've mistaken somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then God speaks to other Christians. I don't know how many times somebody's just said something to me in passing, and they didn't know what I was dealing with. They didn't have any idea what I'm praying about, but they'll say something to me. And I know what they're saying is not really from them. It's from God. He's using them to speak to me. You ever had that happen before? Let me see. You ever had somebody, another Christian, give you some counsel, and they didn't even know what you were praying about, but God knew and you knew, and He sent that Christian to tell you something. Not going into details, the Lord did this just for me. Last Sunday night. I spoke to a man after the service, talked to him for a while back there in the baptistry room. That man did not know the decision I was facing, and he said some things. He didn't know it, but I knew why he was talking. I knew while he was talking, God was using him to give me some direction. I knew it. No other explanation for it. And then sometimes God leads you through circumstances. Watch for God to use ordinary events of your life to give you direction. If you're searching for God's will and He opens doors for you, keep walking through the doors. But when you come to a closed door, you know what the best thing you can do? Is stop walking. You know, you can get hurt trying to walk through a closed door. Sometimes we want to do something so badly, if God shuts the door, we run around and try to get in through the window. Don't force it. The verses I'll leave you with, Proverbs 12:15, the Bible said, "In the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Take good counsel from people that love the Lord. Don't go out here and trying to get advice from people who don't know the Lord. Don't turn to the psychologist and the psychiatrist of this world. Don't turn to those folks. If they don't know the Lord, they can't help you with a spiritual problem. Go to God's people. Let them speak to you. My point here, folks, this morning is, if you've done all these things, be on the lookout for the answer. Don't miss the answer. When God gives you direction, don't miss it because you don't know where to look for it. Look in His Word. Look to His Spirit. Be watching for other Christians to say something or do something that helps you. And then be looking for situations. Be looking for things to happen and people to be moved into place and things to come together. Be watching for all that. It'll be God's answer to you if you've done what we've said this morning. And I close the way I opened. You're either in one of three groups. You're in God's perfect will this morning. And if you are, stay there. Stay right there. Maybe you're in God's permissive will, and you know it isn't the best thing you could be doing with your Christian life. Why don't you come and pray and say, "Lord, you've let me do these things, but I know probably that I'm not doing all I could be doing for you. I want to move, God, from your permissive will to your perfect will. And then you may just say very frankly, I'm just out of God's will entirely. I'm not doing what God told me to do, and I haven't been doing it a long time. Why don't you come and say, God, I want to be back in your will. Again, there are no success outside of God's will. And there are no failures inside of God's will. Let's pray. Our Lord.